Thank you, Cheryl. Gina Lake is so good at exposing the ego. I think it's really helpful just to set and listen to her. If we were to listen to Gina Lake on a regular basis, we would be a lot more alert to our own ego, I think. So I'm really grateful that she's here. So we are here now for the guiding light. And today with the guiding light, we are going to begin in NTI 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We started chapter 7 last week, so we're partway through it. And if you happen to be reading along with me, we are on page 294. And then we'll begin today a little over halfway down the page where it says verses 8 to 14. Remember this. That's where we're going to start. And as a reminder, last week in the Guiding Light, we were talking about how to let go of the ego thought system, or, you know, how to let go of false beliefs and also the emotions that are created by the false believing, things like fear, unworthiness, guilt, all that real fun stuff. And you'll remember maybe that what we talked about is that you want to allow it to pass upward through the shell instead of pressing it back down inside the shell. The shell really representing right now that feeling of you, that feeling of what you are. Whatever that is, even if that feels like a person, right? That feeling of what you are. What you actually are is awareness. So we're talking about awareness. But if you believe yourself to be a person, that works too, for this process of letting go. Just whatever you perceive you to be is good enough. And you want to allow things to pass upward, which means that you are going to feel them. Right, you're going to feel them as they're being let go. I love the way that Michael Singer talks about it in The Untethered Soul. He talks about having an open heart and allowing everything to pass through the open heart. He says if you close the heart and you do not allow it to pass through, then you are actually repressing it and keeping it. And the way to be free of it is to open your heart and let it pass through. So passing through the open heart, in the way Michael Singer describes it, is the same as letting it pass upward in the shell, which is how NTI describes it. So different words trying to describe that same feeling so that you can get the feel yourself for when you are allowing something to rise up and be healed, as compared to when you're repressing it and keeping it and not allowing it to be healed. Another really good description of this comes from the ancient Tao Te Ching. So this is not new information. This is very old information about how to heal. So the ancient Tao Te Ching says, if you want to get rid of something, you must first allow it to flourish. And that's its way of describing this same thing, right, of feeling it. I notice Kathy says, does it always have to be experienced as painful? The answer is no. However, as A Course in Miracles says, however it usually is. And let me tell you the difference between whether it's experienced as painful or not. To the degree that you still believe it's true, and to the degree that you are resisting it, it will be painful. To the degree that you see it is not true, and to the degree that you really are allowing it, it will not be painful. And again, there's a whole host of different degrees within that, right? So when it's painful, it's just because to some degree you're still believing it and you're resisting it. But as you become more and more experienced at letting go, and we do become more and more experienced in letting go, just like we become more and more experienced at any skill. And as you become more and more experienced at letting go, and you're able to open up and gratefully, you know, let something arise and let go, it will become, you know, really, really painless. Right? It'll become very, very painless. So the more of a master you are at the process of forgiveness, the less pain you will experience. So as always, I'm going to play a song before we begin our new reading. And the song I picked today, it's one of my favorites. It's a... Oh, you want a real-life example before I go on, Jackie? I can give you a real-life example. As far as I know, for me, this was a big part of the letting go of the I am bad thought, a big, big part of it. It was the experience of guilt. And what had happened, I've told this story before, so it may sound familiar. What had happened was I had joined a Yahoo group. That was before Facebook. We were all in Yahoo groups. And I had joined a Yahoo group, and I was posting there. And the day that I joined this Yahoo group, I was told that I was not welcome there, that my posts were not welcome there. And yet I felt really, I mean, honestly, guided to be there. I did not feel at all stubborn or rebellious. It felt like I was to post there anyway. And they did have the ability, the technical ability to kick me out of the group. They had the technical ability to block my posts. So if they had wanted to do such a thing, they could have done so, but they didn't. And so each day, you know, I would sit down and I would do my morning contemplation just as I do now, and I would write, and then whatever I wrote, I would post in this group. And then what would happen is they would allow the post in. They didn't stop it, but then they would all dive in and attack it and tear it apart and rip it apart and tell me how wrong I was, right? And so what I felt is that I was there in order to learn not to defend. And so this went on day after day after day for I don't know how many months. I would post, they would attack, I would look at my feelings of defense, and in fact, even then I was practicing. I would look at that, the feelings of anger, the feelings of resentment, the feelings to defend. I would just watch them. I would let them rise up, right? Breathe, rest, accept, and trust, and do nothing. Not type back, not, you know, defend myself, just do nothing. This happened day after day after day. And it got to be easier. Remember, I just said, if you become a master, it gets to be easier. So it got to be easier not to defend. And I thought that I had really mastered this. And then what happened? When actually I'd just gotten used to this process, by the way, of me posting, them attacking, and me doing nothing. I wasn't really over it. So what happened then is one day somebody came into the Yahoo group, and this person, you know, started off by saying, I'm new to the course, and was showing all this excitement about finding this group and being so happy to be here, you know, about all of these other mighty companions. And then this person said something, you know, posted some realization that they had had from their morning reading of the course, and these same people attack this person. And I think, you know, I perceive that as, you know, the devil's attacking the innocent. And I needed to swoop in, even though I had learned not to defend myself. I had really not learned not to defend, because I needed to swoop in and protect this poor innocent person from these vultures. So I, you know, typed some kind of a response. It was politely worded and all of that, but I've just explained to you the frame of mind that it came from, right? And after posting that, I realized that I had defended. When my entire purpose for coming into this group, as far as I could see it, was to learn not to defend. And the idea that came into my mind, was that I had just failed the Holy Spirit. That's the idea that came in. Can you imagine failing God? Oh my God. The guilt that came over me was incredible. I have never experienced guilt like that before. You would have thought that I had murdered multiple people without knowing it, and then opened my eyes and saw what I'd just done, right? I mean, the guilt was just so incredible. You know, everything my mind was saying was telling me how guilty I was because I had failed God, failed the Holy Spirit by defending. Every feeling, every cell in my body was dripping with guilt. And in fact, the guilt was so bad. And I've never experienced guilt like this before or since, just to let you know. The guilt was so bad that what I really wanted to do was die, literally. But even dying was not enough. I mean, this is how guilty I felt. Even dying was not enough. I wanted to die and be erased from everyone's memory. I felt so guilty that I wanted every speck of my existence, including, you know, anyone's memory of me, I wanted every speck of my existence completely wiped out. Now, this is what my mind and this is what my body was saying, but at the same time, okay, let me describe the right mind. At the same time, the right mind was present. And the right mind was reminding me to rest, accept, and trust that this is healing. And so this actually, is as intense as it was, this only lasted 4 hours. It was deeply intense, but the length of time was not that long. So for 4 hours while this was occurring, I practiced rest, accept, and I trusted that this was healing. At the same time I trusted it, you know, I have my mind shouting at me that this is not healing, I'm just guilty. But, you know, I'm paying attention to that little bitty quiet, they call it the still quiet voice, right? I'm paying attention to that little bitty quiet reminder to rest, accept, and trust this is healing, while everything else was shouting at me. And when it ended, it ended. You know, it ended. And I've never believed in guilt since then. I don't believe that I'm guilty, and I don't believe that you're guilty. The belief, you could say the belief in guilt died. So that's a real life example of letting it pass upward through the shell, letting it pass through the open heart, letting it flourish, using the language of NTI, the untethered soul, and the Tao Te Ching. So thanks for that question, Jackie. All right, so why don't we go into our song before we go into new reading. Now, the song I picked out, as I was about to say, is kind of funny. I really love this song, but it's kind of funny. I need to explain it to you or you won't understand why I'm playing it. It's a song that my daughter used to listen to when she was like 4 years old. You'd listen to it and dance around the living room. She really loved it. It's Oops, I Did It Again, originally by Britney Spears, but this is the Glee cast version. Oops, I Did It Again. And what I hear in this song is I actually hear the ego singing to awareness. And it's saying, oops, I did it again, right? I got you to pay attention to me. I got you to think I cared about you when I don't. And the song to me is a reminder not to become engrossed in mind. You know, not to become engrossed in mind. That's what this song is a reminder of. So let's play this fun song and see if you guys can hear it the way I hear it. So again, it's a reminder not to become engrossed in mind, as the mind tells us, oops, I did it again. I got you sucked in.
I think I did it again. I made you believe we're more than just friends. Oh baby, it might seem like a crush, but it doesn't mean that I'm serious. 'Cause to lose all my senses, that is just so typically me. Watching us.
fun and true. Right? The mind is always dreaming. It's a fool in so many ways. But we, you know, we get caught all up in it. You know, we think that it thinks that I love you. But actually what we think is we do think the mind loves us. We think it wants to take care of us. We think that its suggestions are trying to save us, right? We think it's in love with us. And oops, it's not true. The mind says, I'm not that innocent. You got lost in the game, right? So it's a great song. I really love that song. So Jasmine danced at it when she was 4. And I dance at it now that I'm 56. It took time, took longer for me to learn to appreciate the song. All right, so why don't we begin then? As I mentioned, we are in NTI 1 Corinthians, page 294, chapter 7, starting a little over halfway down page 294 at verses 8 to 14. Here we go. Remember this. Your truth is as it is, and cannot be changed. I just want to pause right there, even before I go on. If we pay attention to awareness as our truth, really look at it. That's what I mean by pay attention. Really look at awareness. Notice that awareness is never, ever changed. You know, there could be all kinds of upset going on, like I described in my guilt story a little bit ago when Jackie was asking me for a real life example. Right? I mean, there was so much guilt. I laugh now, but it wasn't funny then. There was so much guilt. Remember that I wanted to die and be erased from everyone's memories. That's how guilty I felt. There was so much guilt. And the answer, Cheryl, is no, this is not in the keys. It's only in NTI. So there is so much guilt. And at the same time, if I had been able to look at awareness then I didn't know yet about awareness. I hadn't discovered awareness yet. But if I had known about awareness, if I had already discovered awareness, and if I could have practiced at that time in my maturity, if I could have said, what is it that sees all of this guilt? I would have found untouched awareness right there, even in the middle of all of that. So no matter how big something seems, awareness is completely untouched by it. And that awareness is our truth. So when we come to realize that we are awareness, then we see that we are untouched. Now, Kathy is saying, would a healed mind see this guilt? A healed mind would not have got itself in the situation to have the guilt, is really what I'm going to say. Because let me tell you what happened, all right? Let me tell you what happened very carefully, slowly, and mechanically, okay? Again, what happened was I had a belief that I was in this group with a specific purpose. Maybe I was, maybe I wasn't, but I had identified with that belief. That's the first thing that happened. You know, I am here to learn, not to defend. I believed that. The second thing that happened was I slipped and defended, right? But then when I slipped and defended, the thought that entered the mind was I had betrayed God or let down the Holy Spirit or failed the Holy Spirit. When that thought entered the mind, I believed it. And that's a very heavy thought. And as a result, there was very heavy guilt. The healed mind would not have made the two mistakes that preceded the guilt. Right? Therefore, the healed mind would not have experienced the guilt. So the guilt itself is nothing but an effect. The guilt itself is not the mistake. It's the believing that led to the feeling of guilt. And the healed mind would not have made those mistakes. The healed mind would not have believed that it knew why it was here. And the healed mind would not have believed an idea such as, I have failed God, or I have betrayed God. Hopefully that answers your question, Kathy. Therefore, the healed mind would not have had that experience. But what I'm saying is, if I had been mature enough, not healed, but mature enough once the guilt set in, to practice self-inquiry, which I wasn't at this point. I'd never even heard of self-inquiry at this point. But if I had been mature enough to practice self-inquiry, which you all are mature enough, you all have heard of it, right? What I would have found is even in the heaviness of all of this guilt, when I looked at awareness, awareness was unaffected. I would have been able to see that had I had the maturity, because awareness is always, always unaffected. We just have to remember to look. And yeah, Kathy, the healed mind does not believe false thoughts. That's why it's called the healed mind. Yes. The healed mind can see false thoughts, but it doesn't believe them. So false thoughts can still arise, and the healed mind sees them, but doesn't believe them. Yeah, that's the difference. All right, so let's go back to the reading. Remember this. Your truth is as it is and cannot be changed, meaning your awareness never changes. If you seem to make a mistake in your attempts to empty your shell, do not worry. It is only practice. More opportunities to practice will be given. Do not worry that the shell must be emptied or you are a sinner. For in truth, the shell does not exist. Therefore, it cannot be emptied or full in reality. Therefore, the condition of the shell has no effect on your worth. So what happens? Because, you know, we're so dang addicted to the thought streams that run in the mind. And we just believe them without questioning them. So what happens is here we are, we're in the guiding light, learning about how to let go of false beliefs and the emotions that come from them. And we learn all about letting it come up, letting it rise upward, right, to be released. Don't repress it. And then what happens, invariably, because, you know, we're not yet masters, is that something comes up. We immediately repress it and blame. You know, it's my husband's fault. It's Regina's fault. It's, you know, something else, right? But because of our maturing, we then immediately see what we just did. Our awareness shows us that what we just did was repress something that came up, project it out and blame someone else. Now, the reason awareness shows us this is so that we can observe these habits that we have and learn from them and begin to make different choices. Awareness is trying to wake us up, and we only wake up through seeing. But what most people do is they do not say, ah, thank you, awareness. Thank you for showing me what I just did. Most people don't do that. If you could do that, that would be awesome. You would wake up much faster, right? But what most people do is they say, ah, I failed again. I'm such a loser. I'll never get this right. Yeah, that's what most people do. And so this paragraph, and Pierre, I'll answer your question in a moment. This paragraph is addressing that. When this paragraph says, if you seem to make a mistake in your attempts to empty your shell, do not worry. Don't worry that you made a mistake. Don't fall into that ego judgmental habit. It's only practice. You know, I like to liken it to a one-year-old, or actually Jasmine was delayed because she was in an orphanage. I think most kids learn to walk before they're one, right? Probably like 10 months or so. Jasmine was delayed. She learned to walk when she was around 13 or 14 months. But when she was learning to walk, right, she'd fall down. And fortunately, a kid isn't as stupid as an adult. She didn't beat herself up for falling down. She didn't say, I'm never going to learn to walk. You know, I'm not even going to try again. She would just giggle most of the time and get up and try again and fall and get up and try again, and fall and get up and try again. I mean, that's what we need to do. That's how we learn, right? But we're not as smart as a baby. We tend to beat ourselves up, tell ourselves what losers we are, how we're never going to be able to do this. That habit needs to be let go. Yeah, oops, I did it again. There you go, another nice interpretation. Oops, I did it again. I fell for that mind, right? So if you seem to make a mistake in your attempts to empty your shell, do not worry. It is only practice. More opportunities to practice will be given. Okay, before I continue with this paragraph, let me go back and answer Pierre's question. Why didn't awareness alert beforehand? Actually, as you become more and more practiced to this, awareness will alert beforehand. What's happening is the amount of awareness that is coming in is the amount of awareness you are letting in. You're the one that blocks the awareness out. So the amount of awareness that is coming in is the amount of awareness you are letting in. This is a story I told last night in the Gentle Healing Group, but never hurts to repeat a story. So let me tell the story again. One of my bad habits was that I used to scream at Jasmine. And I think I've demonstrated this for you guys again. When she was even a little bitty girl, I would just scream and scream and scream at her. And so this was something I wanted to let go of. So what would first happen, this was the first step, I had a willingness to let go of this habit of screaming at my little girl, right? So the first step was, out of pure habit and out of complete unconsciousness, I would scream at her anyway. But then I would see it as I was doing it. That's the amount of awareness I was allowing in through my willingness. I would see it as I was doing it. And I would stop right in the middle of it. I would tell Jasmine, Mommy needs a timeout. Mommy needs a timeout. And I would go to my room and I would practice looking at all of it. I would look at the guilt, because now there was guilt because I judged myself for doing it, right? I would look at the guilt. I would just look at everything, and I would practice rest, accept, and trust in the privacy of my bedroom. As I did this, my willingness naturally increased. And as my willingness naturally increased, the awareness, I let the awareness in earlier. And what began to happen is I began to see myself just before I screamed. Right? Before I was screaming before I saw myself. Now I would see myself just before I screamed. Mommy needs a timeout. Mommy needs a timeout. And I would go take a timeout. Do the same thing. The rest, accept, and trust. Let it come up. Right? Look at it. Right? And as a result of this, even more willingness came about, to where I got to where I could see it even before it was triggered. Even before it was triggered, I could see it. I could see the trigger. And that's when I was able to choose a completely different path and go down a path of peace and not need to take a time out. So awareness was able to alert me earlier and earlier and earlier as I became more and more willing. But that willing process seemed like a stepped process, because the truth is I still, you know, was addicted to my habits. I still believed. In fact, the thought, just to let you know, the thought that I found that was leading me to scream at my little girl was that she doesn't respect me. And there was attached to that a belief that a little girl is supposed to respect her mom. That's what was causing it. There's the belief that a little girl is supposed to respect and obey her mother, and she doesn't, right? And when I got to where I was seeing that trigger, I'd see that thought just before it kicked off, she doesn't respect me. I could say, I'm not falling for that again. I mean, literally, because I wasn't there yet. The awareness was alerting me before I had chosen the thought. So I could say, I'm not falling for that again, and I could make another choice. And Pierre is saying, so awareness can't suddenly appear after event if it wasn't there to begin with. All I can say is the amount of awareness is the amount of awareness that you are allowing in. right? The awareness is always there. The awareness is always perfect. But you aren't always letting it in. You're blocking it with your beliefs. So as we remove more and more of these false beliefs, the awareness comes in much clearer. But the awareness is always perfect. All right, so let's go back to the reading then. So let me read the first part of this paragraph again, just kind of as a review, and then we'll look at the second part of this paragraph. So if you seem to make a mistake in your attempts to empty your shell, do not worry. You know, you're just a baby. Get up and try again, right? If you seem to make a mistake in your attempts to empty your shell, do not worry. It's only practice. More opportunities to practice will be given. Now, this next sentence, I think, is really important. Do not worry that the shell must be emptied or you are a sinner. That's a thought that's somehow in the psyche. The thought that's in the psyche is somehow if I'm having anger thoughts, if I'm having hate thoughts, if I'm having guilt thoughts, if I'm having blame thoughts, if I'm having jealousy thoughts, I'm bad. And this is saying that's not true. That's not true. You are mistaken, and as a result of your mistake, you are suffering, right? And you're even to some degree sharing the suffering. You're making it available for others to pick too. Like when I scream at Jasmine, I made it available for her to believe that she was unworthy. That's what I was passing on, right? So to some degree, you are sharing the suffering. But you're not a sinner, you're ignorant. There's a difference. You're ignorant. You're asleep. You're unconscious. Not a sinner. You just need to wake up. You just need to allow more awareness in. Awareness is awakeness, right? So you want to go through the practices of allowing more and more awareness in and removing more and more blocks. Believing that you are a sinner, believing that you are guilty, is a great big heavy block that blocks out awareness. Therefore, it's not at all helpful to your goal. In fact, believing that you are a sinner, believing that you are guilty, is one of the heaviest shade covers we have to cover up the truth. It's one of the heaviest. So it's really, 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 really helpful to see yourself like that baby learning to walk. Yes, you're making mistakes. That's okay. Learn to look at the mistakes with more awareness. That's different than judging them, right? Yes, you're making mistakes. Look. Learn to get to know what your habits are. Learn to notice what the triggers are. Learn to pay more and more attention. Rest, accept, and trust to let go of any emotions that arise, any thought streams that are a part of this. Heal more. Let more awareness in. That's the answer. Let's go on to verses 15 to 24. You seem to be in the world and you experience yourself there. But I have already told you that you are not in the world. Therefore, nothing in the world can be important to who you are. Now, this is something that most people are not going to see for some time. But as you let more and more awareness in, something begins to happen within you. And kind of the way I experienced it was, it's as if the mind, which you thought you were, right? It's as if the mind begins to fade into the background and awareness, which is your true self, begins to come into the foreground. And as awareness begins to come into the foreground, you get more and more tastes, glimpses of awareness. And awareness begins to become your primary experience for short periods of time, and then awareness becomes your primary experience for longer and longer periods of time. And as you become more and more aware of awareness as what you are, instead of the person, instead of the body, instead of the mind, you begin to notice that you are not in the world is in you. Literally, the world is in awareness. And in fact, if you just pay attention right now, right this second, just kind of relax yourself a little bit. Let your awareness kind of relax so that you start paying attention to not only my voice, but kind of pay attention to like your peripheral vision. And just kind of notice really quickly all of the things that you see. You want to take the time to label them. Just kind of notice them. You can see them faster than your mind can label them. Then start shifting your attention to the awareness that's aware of all of these things. Shift your attention to the fact that you are aware. Notice that the objects that are closest to the body, your body, are within awareness. Also, the objects that seem furthest from your body are equally within awareness. This is what is meant by there is no space. Just as equally in awareness. The more that you focus on this, the more you're going to see everything is inside of awareness. In fact, the body, which appears closest to you of all, notice that the body itself is within that same awareness. The object closest to you within awareness. The object furthest from you within awareness. The body within awareness. My voice within awareness. Notice everything is within awareness. And notice how intimately awareness is you. You can't separate yourself from awareness. It's impossible. If awareness is you, and all of these objects are within awareness, then all of these objects are within you. So that's what NTI is saying here in verses 15 to 24. You seem to be in the world and you experience yourself there. But I have already told you that you are not in the world. Therefore, nothing in the world can be important to who you are. Right? If everything is within you, no matter how these things shift and change, come and go, you are unaffected. Starting at the top of page 295. The reason for emptying the shell is not to free you. You are free. The reason for emptying the shell is not to make you loved. You are love. The reason for emptying the shell is to let go of the points of experience that tell you that you are what you are not. So again, what happens is many of us, when we begin this process, we think that there's something inherently wrong with us, right? There's something inherently wrong with us. And so we think that we will somehow become better if we can awaken, become enlightened. Like this is the general idea, that we become better by becoming enlightened. That's not true. Because what you are is perfect awareness, and when you're enlightened, you're still the same perfect awareness. The only difference is you now know it. You realize what you are, right? But you haven't become better because there was never anything wrong with you. But we think this. We think that we will become better. Or another very popular idea is, woe is me, I am suffering, my life is so hard, but if I awaken, if I become enlightened, the suffering will go away. Well, that's, you know, I mean, I suppose looked at one way, that's true, but that's not really true either. That's just misidentification. Because if you see your true self, it has never suffered. Right? Awareness has never suffered. So you aren't here to free yourself of suffering, really. You aren't here to make yourself better or more lovable, really. You're here to see the truth of what you are. That's the real purpose here. To discover the truth of what you are. So that's what this paragraph is saying. The reason for emptying the shell is not to free you. You are free. The reason for emptying the shell is not to make you loved. You are love. The reason for emptying the shell is to let go of the points of experience that tell you that you are what you are not. So let's look at these points of experience, starting with sentence 8. Each thought that seems to speak of unworthiness, guilt, or fear in the world. Each thought that seems to express the wish, what if it were different than it is? Each thought that seems to interpret anything in the world as if it were true. Each of these thoughts are made to give you the experience of experience that isn't true. So each thought must be handed out of the shell, that the shell may be emptied of all points of experience. So what this is saying then, well, let me go back to the story that I told you earlier about, you know, my great guilt. Remember, the story that I bought into was that I had failed the Holy Spirit or betrayed God, right, by defending when I had been sent there to learn not to defend. What this is saying is the purpose of thoughts like that, and it's a very benign purpose. The purpose of thoughts like that is just to give an experience of yourself as something other than your truth. You might liken it to going to a movie. You know, like if you go to the movie The Notebook, especially if somebody's told you about the movie in advance and you go anyway, you go there to feel the emotion of this couple who's torn apart by Alzheimer's, and you cry and you cry and you cry with that experience. And notice Kathy's saying, love that movie. We're talking about a movie that breaks your heart. And we love that movie because we do love experience. Right? Another movie that I love is The Shining. I love The Shining. You go to The Shining and you get scared, you know? Why do we love movies that scare us? Why do we love movies that break our heart? Because we love experience. And a movie is really safe because we know it's not real. So we get to have the experience of a broken heart. We get to have the experience of being scared. We get to have the experience of adventure in a real adventurous movie, right? We get to have experience, which we love, but we know it's not true. Well, what this is saying is that the world and every part of the world, including our thoughts, was really meant for the same purpose. It's the divine movie. We wanted the experience. We wanted to feel what these things felt like. That's what we wanted. Our mistake is thinking it's real. Our mistake is thinking that it affects us. Our mistake is forgetting that we're awareness. So we've taken these experiences, which were really meant for divine entertainment. And we've taken them to be something real. And we've taken them to say something about who I am. Right? I'm the person who's always worrying. I'm the one who's, you know, stupid and can't figure things out. Right? So that's where our mistake is. Our mistake is in thinking these things are real, and even more in identifying with them, thinking that they say something about who we are. When actually all they are is points of experience, like a movie, like The Notebook. So, let's listen to what these points of experience are again. Each thought that seems to speak of unworthiness, guilt, or fear. And if you think about that, you know that you have experienced unworthiness, right? You've experienced guilt, and you've experienced fear, just like you experience a broken heart and sadness in The Notebook. You see, that's all these are. They're not truths. That's where we make the mistake. When I say it's true that I'm unworthy, it's true that I'm guilty, or it's true that I have something to fear, that's the mistake. But if we see them as just experiences, like a movie, each thought that seems to speak of unworthiness, guilt, or fear in the world, those are points of experience. Each thought that seems to express the wish, what if it were different than it is? Right? What if my husband was different? When you say, what if my husband was different, you feel something. It's an experience. What if my children were different? You feel something. What if I were different? You feel something. It's an experience. Each thought that seems to interpret anything in the world as if it were true. So, you know, I don't know what your political leanings are, but we know that, you know, there are people in the world who feel that the United States is doomed because Donald Trump is going to be president on Friday. And we know that there are people who think the United States is saved. Finally, we're saved from the government. We're saved from the traditional government by our hero, Donald Trump, right? If you believe either of those ideas are true, you're going to experience that. If you believe that the United States is doomed, you're going to experience that. You're going to feel that. If you believe the United States is saved, that the government has always been somehow corrupt, and now we have Donald Trump, and yay, 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 you're going to feel that. You see, so anything that you believe in the world to be true is a point of experience. Each of these thoughts are made to give you the experience of experience that isn't true. You forget yourself. And in fact, even when you go to a movie, to some degree, you forget yourself. If you sat in the movie theater remembering, oh, I'm just sitting here in a seat, watching some flat images on a screen, you wouldn't get as into the movie, right? What happens when you go to the movie is you forget yourself and you project your attention fully into the movie, and that's why you experience it. Well, the same thing is true with our thoughts. We forget ourself. We forget that we are awareness. We forget we are untouched, right? We forget all of that. We forget ourself. We project our attention fully into that thought, I have betrayed God, and then we experience it. It's the exact same mechanisms that we use when we go to a movie. Again, the difference is when we go to a movie, we know it's not true, we know it's going to end, and we know we're going to walk out untouched. In the world, though, with our thoughts, we forget that. And that's why it leads to more than experience, it leads to suffering. Each thought that seems to speak of unworthiness, guilt, or fear in the world. Each thought that seems to express the wish, what if it were different than it is? Each thought that seems to interpret anything in the world as if it were true. Each of these thoughts are made to give you the experience of experience that isn't true. So each thought must be handed out of the shell, that the shell may be emptied of all points of experience. Now remember, the goal of NTI is to help you remember who you are. And what's happening in the world that's different than the movie is when we go into the movie, although we allow ourselves to get engrossed by it, we don't forget and think we're in the movie. We at some level, we know we're just watching the movie, we're safe, and it's going to end and we can walk out. But in this world, we have forgotten who we are. And NTI is here to help awaken us to who we are. And so it's saying that you are so engrossed with these points of experience that you need to empty yourself of these points of experience. Or said another way, you need to empty yourself of these beliefs so that you can recognize yourself again as the untouched awareness. Because as long as you remain engrossed in these beliefs, oops, I did it again, right? As long as you remain engrossed in these beliefs, you don't notice the untouched awareness that you are. Starting with sentence 10. When the points of experience are all released from the shell no longer senses experience, and another experience may come in to fill the shell. And this, it is the second experience that points to truth. So, when I let go of guilt as a belief, unworthiness as a belief, fear as a belief, competition as a belief, right? I no longer experience those things. What comes in its place is a different experience. It's the experience that reflects truth. So it's the experience of peace. It's the experience of all is well. It's the experience of knowing myself as eternal and everything that happens in the world as temporary, as passing through me, right? So there's still an experience, but it's a completely different, completely new experience. And it's an experience that comes from the absence of beliefs rather than from beliefs. It's an experience that comes from emptiness rather than being full of all of these ideas and thinking them to be true. When the points of experience are all released from the shell no longer senses experience, meaning those experiences that were created by the points of experience. The shell no longer senses experience. And another experience may come in to fill the shell. It is the second experience that points to truth. Do not worry that you experience the world. Worry is a point of experience. Release it from the shell. Do not feel guilty that your shell is not emptied. Guilt is a point of experience. Release it from the shell. Do not be sad that you do not know the second experience that comes. Wishing is the cause of all points of experience. Release wishing, and many points of experience will leave the shell with it. So this is just telling us some of the ways that we hold on to points of experience without noticing it. You know, I wish I was awake. I wish I was enlightened. I wish it was different than it is. I wish I didn't have this mind that's just driving me crazy. You know, because when we're thinking about those things, those are points of experience. We're experiencing them. We're not empty of them. So we have to recognize a point of experience as a point of experience. We have to realize everything we're experiencing because we're taking in these thoughts and believing them, just like I believed that I had failed the Holy Spirit. We see it for what it is and we let it go. We empty the shell. And again, when we let it go, sometimes we experience it. We feel it moving through our open heart, moving upward through the shell. But we let it go. We don't hold on to it. We don't cling to it. We don't believe it. This is just a point of an experience, and it's blocking the true perception. I want to let go of this worry. I want to let go of this thought that I'm stupid or ugly or mean. And as we let go of these ideas that we tend to hold on to, there's emptiness in its place. And that emptiness is filled with inner peace, with a sense of well-being, with awareness of awareness as what we are. So this is how we awaken to our true self, is by letting go of everything that is not our true self. By becoming the empty shell. And that's it today. That's all the time we have. So we'll begin on page 295 with verses 29 to 31 next week. All right. So thank you very much, y'all. It's been great spending time with you. And I release the mic.